G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, March 18. I'm John Barker, joining me Carl Diorio, and welcome back Joel Marshall for, what many would regard as the best race day on the Australian calendar.
Yeah, picked the right time to come back, certainly in racing terms with five Group 1, so yeah, step straight into it. Great days racing at Rose Hill, as you said, five Group 1s, and Golden Slipper, usually the centre stage has top billing, but I think going to be knocked off by the George Ryder this year, Winx. She's probably there she's the one that all the crowd are going to see anyway.
And Carl, Winx, Chautauqua and Le Romaine at least. Well, really, that's about the end of it, but it's a real challenge for the Mighty Mare.
It is, and I think the George Ryder's it's always been a good race, but it's quickly becoming one of the real highlights in the calendar, I guess, perhaps due to the fact we get these good three-year-olds going the stud so quickly, and it allows the older horses that we've become accustomed to over a longer period of time to take on those emerging three-year-olds before they go the stud, and they get that sort of weight allowance. So it's a really good race, generally speaking, and this year is no exception without those three-year-olds I do mention, but it's going to be great with Chautauqua on the wet track.
All right. Well, let's. Of course, that's not the only action. There's plenty of black type action elsewhere around Australia on the weekend, but the main action is Rose Hill, and we'll take you right through the Group 1s. We won't go right through the whole card this time, listeners. Our apologies for that, but we have had major technological issues at Winning Post Towers this week, and the three of us have literally been up all night getting the Winning Post and the Best Bets out on the streets. Apologies also if you're a Best Bets reader, it's a day late. But better late than never, as they say. The best things are worth waiting for, and we don't have to wait too long for the first Group 1 on Saturday. It's race 4, the Randvet Stakes, over 2,000 metres. And, Joel, I mean, Hartnell, despite a very ordinary performance on a heavy track last time, and it's surely not going to be much drier this time. I guess Rose Hill is a different sort of heavy to Randwick, but short enough, I would have thought, off that sort of run.
Yeah, I think he is short enough, a shade of odds on. He does need to bounce back. He had a tough run out wide, and I think he's worth forgiving. He did put a good run of performances together, and he's certainly got to be given another chance. In saying that, I'm tipping the United States to go back-to-back in the Randvet. Won it last year, coming off two runs down in Melbourne and on a seven-day backup, so they're trying to do the same thing here. He came off a very fastly run mile race last year, the Blamey Stakes, where he ran second. This time around, he's had the 2,000-metre run under his belt in the Australian Cup, and it was a high-pressure race. He should be really fit for this 2,000-metre race on wet ground. So I'm with the United States to beat one, Hartnell. In for third, number seven, Antonio Giuseppe on the backup. He had to sort of cart the field up to the leader last week. I thought he ran well, and I've put the Kiwi mare Sophia Rose, a really good run last start in New Zealand. She might be ready to find form again in the autumn as she did last year.
Yeah, I've got with Hartnell on top. Don't think $1.80 is value, but it's hard to tip against him with any real confidence. I think he deserves another chance based on what he's done thus far this season. For second, number five, the United States. He won this race last year. He's on the backup. His two runs this campaign have been solid. Third, number four, our Ivanhoe, I think the wet track brings him right into play. Just depends, as a older horse now, I think he's seven. He's not getting any younger. It just depends whether he can perform first up at this level. And for fourth, number three, Stratham Star. But a good race, and yeah, I'd include Sophia Rosa as a bit of a sneaky knockout chance on the wet track.
As you mentioned, possibly the race of the day, race five, China Horse Club George Ryder, 1,500. At weight for age. Well, Winx's got a few challenges. Another wet track, didn't seem to faze her last time, but then she's probably going to have to catch Le Romaine and be looking over her shoulder for the flying finish of Chautauqua.
Yeah, look, I think this could be her toughest test. I would have loved to have seen Blackheart Bard in there as well. He was entered for the race, and obviously he stays down in Melbourne for the drier track, but another genuine Group 1 sprinter miler, and the race would have made things really interesting. But look, she should be too good again. She's on top. I've put Chautauqua in for second. We'll be finishing off really strongly. I think they'll just try and hold him up a little bit longer. Tommy Berry sort of really used him on the corner last start to try and cut the corner and make ground. And I think the 1500, they'll be riding him really quiet on Saturday. Lee Remain in for third, he's in great form. And in for fourth, number six, McCreary.
Yeah, I've gone with Winx. It's hard to go past her. She's always, she's won the last 15. She's going for 16 straight. Wet track she seems to handle. But it's that interesting point of difference, isn't it? Going back in distance on a wet track, which Chautauqua so loves. And I guess the Hawke stable have always expressed a desire to see Chautauqua get over ground in time. And I guess he's in his advanced age. He's showing less of a dash over the shorter trip. And now's the time to test him over this distance. It's just a shame he's got to run into a superstar. But it might set up a really intriguing battle. Third up in La Romaine, and for fourth, number four, Tucson Stardom, but he's not going to run, I'm led to believe, so I'll put in Haraki in next.
Third of the group ones, and please note the first leg of the quaddy in Victoria and New South Wales. It's a standard quaddy in the UBET states of 7, 8, 9, 10, but... Well, according to the winning post, anyway, it's 6, 7, 8, 9 in, and that does make sense because then you get the Rosehill Guineas in the main quaddy.
And that provincial championship.
Don't get the country cup.
Just been tacked onto the end.
The 20 horse field at the end, I reckon that's going to trip up a lot of people because a lot of people think, oh, last leg the quaddy 20 horse field, they're stuck it in there as the value sort of race.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, Sky Racing Rosehill Guineas is for 3-year-olds over 2,000 metres. This one's worth $600,000. The George Rider, I should have mentioned, is worth $1 million. So no wonder it is building in stature. And Carl, Inference, you did well. You tipped Inference to win the round with Guineas. And another one of our favourites in Anaheim. Heads up for this one. Gets the visitor's barrier, although it might be all right on a heavy track, race six. Joel, where have you gone?
Yeah, I've got that Quinella. I went Anaheim. Does have to prove himself on the wet, but he's a really talented staying type. He showed that in the spring. They tried to get him to the Derby, just came a bit quick, and he didn't quite make the field. But we saw a little bit of his brilliance through Cup Week, and he's returned with two really good runs, excellent in the Australian Guineas. Did have the soft sort of a run and was the last one exposed and hit the line late, but it was a really good effort. So I'm going to put him on top of Inference. I think he's got those covered again that he beat at Randwick. Number five coming through was one of those. Still a wrap for him. He hasn't broken through this prep, but really keen to see how he goes Saturday and whether they're still looking at a drop back in distance for the Doncaster in a couple of weeks. And two, Ginger Nuts, the Kiwi, in for fourth. He's really come out of nowhere to win the Avondale Guineas and New Zealand Derby, and that's got to be respected.
Yeah, Inference on top for me. I think he's a class horse. I've always been a fan. There's no reason to jump off now that he's really putting it all together. He's no doubt going to be better over 2,000 metres, but he shows that sharpness to be competitive over those shorter distances. And I think he's just a touch of class. I've got him ahead of seven, Sosi Bond, who's another son of So You Think. I wasn't too displeased with his second-up run in the Australian Guineas. The pattern of the race just didn't suit. And to be only beaten just over three lengths, I thought the run had plenty of merit. Third, number six, Anaheim. He's a genuine stayer, but I think he just might lack the class of the two other So You Think colts that I've just put in ahead of him. And third, number five, coming through, well, he's got the class, but he's the query at the distance, particularly on a rain affected surface. Be curious to see what sort of run he produces on the weekend, and as Joel said, would they then go to the Doncaster or the Mile with a light weight, or proceed towards a Derby over the 24 against their own age group.
And the other big one, certainly the feature attraction on paper, is race seven, the Longines Golden Slipper, 1200 for 2-year-olds at set weights, worth $3.5 million. And it's another intriguing affair. Plenty of reading about your Golden Slipper in your winning post this week. Paul Richards interviews Adam Blenko from Racing and Sports, talking about the way that 2-year-olds are rated, and comes up with the opinion that this is an average bunch, not average meaning poor, but average actually meaning average, so not outstanding and not poor, somewhere in the middle. It's a wet Golden Slipper, as I've argued in well, not really argued, but pointed out in Winning Post and Best Bets this week. The heavy track Golden Slippers, they tend to be one. Well, obviously, it doesn't hurt if you've run it before and won on the wet, but quite a few of these heavy track Golden Slippers are won by two-year-olds that haven't raced on it before, and catchy certainly in that category. Seven last start winners, and it's just it's as intriguing as any Golden Slipper, Joel, isn't it? Possibly more so with 450 the field.
Yeah, I think it's a very open race, and for that reason I'm just sticking with a horse that I've liked for quite a while. And in number two, Veronillo, look, the confidence has probably been dented a little bit in his last couple of runs, and hence he's blown out to 40-1 after getting in as short as, I think, around $11 or $12 at one stage. But he won his first two, looked green doing it, but also did look impressive. And then second to She Will Reign, it was a good run, I thought. And then last run, yeah, it was pretty decent. That was on the wet track. I thought that showed he handled it. But what they've had up their sleeve the whole time is the blinkers. And John O'Shea's put them on for his grand final by Medaglia d'Oro. And almost all of that breed really react well when the blinkers are applied. So I'm happy to back him each way. From 13 Frolic, I think she's over the odds. She's showed a really good turn of foot to win her past couple. I know She Will Reign probably wasn't in the as good a part of the track last start, but she went past her pretty well. I think probably too big a discrepancy in the odds for mine for that pair. Nine catchy in for third, hard to fault her. Blue Diamond form should hold up, and or it did in Sydney last week. And number one, Pariah, who was just caught by catchy in that diamond. 2.13, 9-1.
Yeah, I tend to think this Golden Slipper is actually quite strong with plenty of depth, and I don't really subscribe to the theory that it's an average sort of bunch in that sense. I think they're even, but I think they're even because they're all pretty good. I've got Pariah on top. I just think his debut win was good. Okay, Minari was unlucky and behind, but his next two efforts at Caulfield I thought were excellent going the opposite way. He goes back in the Sydney direction. He draws favourably. I think he's going to get every chance to perform, and I've got him on top on an each way basis from nine catchy. He's unbeaten from four starts, a Blue Diamond winner. You've got to respect that. Third, number 15, Hootson, who's also unbeaten, won a Magic Millions Classic after leading throughout from the outside barrier and breaking 109.4. So, you know, she's no slouch. And She Will Reign, well, it's hard to envisage her getting beaten until she did last time, and that was on a very biased track. Behind them, well, Trekking's going to be a great horse over a bit further and as he gets a bit more experience. And then the likes of Tulip Formality and Frolic, people are suggesting can win. So I don't think it's a bad field. I don't think it's an average field. I think it's actually quite good.
All right, last of the group ones is race 8, also third leg of the quaddie, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs Galaxy. And the Galaxy, Joel, has been won by a horse in double figure odds for about the last 7 years, and I for one would not be the least bit surprised if that happened again.
No, neither would I. And are we going to see Joey Jaws Chestnut present the connections of the winning trophy? Would be great to see Nathan's flying down here. I'm with H. Supito, who will be double figures, so I'm hoping that trend continues. Mick Kent trained Galloper. He was last in the Lightning, wasn't beaten far, then went to Sydney and thought ran well on the heavy ground in the Challenge Stakes. Drops 5 kilos. Craig Williams aboard. Happy to back him each way. From 12, Russian Revolution. Really respect this three-year-old. His only defeat was in the Group 1 Coolmore in the spring, and it was a really good run. He's been trialling well. 3, English. She might just be an autumn mare. She didn't quite come up in the spring, but her win in the Challenge was good first up. And 2, Fell Swoop, he can improve back to Sydney after his decent Oakley Plate run first up.
Redzel on top for me. 4 of his 5 wins have come over the 1100 metres. I thought his run the other day in the Challenge Stakes was good. He meets English 3 kilos better under the handicap conditions of the Galaxy compared to the weight for age of the Challenge. And I've got him ahead of number 1 Music Magnate, who's top weight, but I think suited coming back to the 1100 metres. And yeah, he's just so consistent. 7 wins from 15 starts. For third, number 3 English, who does seem to race best this time of year in the autumn. And then for fourth, number 2 Fell Swoop, I didn't think was all that bad in the Oakley Plate. He's just such an honest type, and whilst his numerical form might have you know, 2s, 3s, maybe 6s instead of just 1s next to his name like he did early in his career, he's still going on quite well, and you've always got to respect him in this company.
Certainly is. Well, Joel, it's no surprise that your 40-1 pop for the slipper is your value bet. Race 7, number 2, Veronillo. Talk us through your best on the Rose Hill card, and that's race 2, number 6, Raymond.
Yeah, I was tossing up. I was thinking of making United States my best. I do like him, but I've gone for Raymond. I think they've picked the right race. They've scratched out of the 3-year-old race, and taking on the older mares, and I think she can certainly measure up. Her record is reading really well. She's won 3 from 9. She's trialled well. Her form last prep was excellent. She won 2 from 3. Her only defeat was a very narrow defeat at the hands of In Her Time, who came out and won 2 Group 2 races. So great form. I think she'll be very hard to beat.
Carl, your best is in the Guineas Race 6, number 4, Inference, and you have found one in the Provincial Championships for us with a pair of zeros next to her name, and that is number 5, Lady Jivago, at around about $17.
Drops in class, I think, is suited in this Provincial Championship qualifier. Get back, run on type, needs a bit of luck. Didn't get it last time in a heat of the series at Gosford. It was only beaten 2.5 lengths. Look, wet track won't worry her either. It's been a while since she's last won, but she's been racing well and just needs a little bit of luck to go her way, and it's a big field, so if you can find the winner, I'm sure you'll be well rewarded.
Flemington, the venue once again for Melbourne Racing on Saturday. And what happens with the rail? Goes out 3 metres. So we'll see how it plays, but certainly... we'll get our best in value in a moment. We may as well just take a look at this main race because it's intriguing, albeit a 7-horse field, and Darren Weir has 4 of the runners. Is Weary going to take this one away, Joel?
Yeah, well, it is an intriguing race. Weary with 4, Hayes with 2, and Sir Isaac Newton first up for the Lloyd Williams camp. So it's an interesting race. I'm going for Palantino to repeat the dose from last spring in the Maccabi Diva, where he stepped up to the mile at Flemington and won. I think he can maybe beat Blackheart Bart, but look, it's going to be a great clash. Tosin Stardom in 3rd, number 6. I've gone for the Weird Trifecta, and I've slotted in Hiyoshi, last year's Blamey winner, in for 4th.
The speed map this race is all important because I guess Hiyoshi and Harlem, the Hayes pair, are going to be at the back. So it kind of depends on what the quartet of Darren Weir, how they line up, and you'd expect maybe Blackheart Bart to be prominent with Tucson Stardom, and I just think maybe Tucson Stardom, with that run under his belt, it'll be the first time he races second up in Australia. He gets onto the bigger Flemington track, he rises to the mile. If he gets up on the speed and has a bit of a soft time of it, he might just be hard to overrun. Palantino in for 2nd, he always loves Flemington in the 1600, his last win in the Maccabi Diva. 3rd, number 1, Blackheart Bart, and then for 4th, Harlem, number 7. He's probably going to be better over 2400, but he's certainly fit enough to run a bold race fresh at the mile.
All right, our best and... I should say that I'm going for Blackheart Bart to beat Palantino, Tosin Stardom and Hiyoshi, so fairly in fair amount of concord there. Our best and value bets for the Flemington program, I never learned, so I'm going for a Lloyd Williams horse as my best, which is race 6, number 5, Goodwill. And once again, in classic John Barker fashion, I've got a horse that, you know, I think... You know, that I now look at the price and think, well, probably not that great value after all, and that is the Tasmanian Star, race 8, number 6, Hell of a Street, only about $5.50. Joel?
Yeah, my best come up very short, the answer, my friend. Look, he's maybe a betting proposition, maybe a few all-ups or doubles with him. I think he'll probably win. He got caught right on the line last start after giving a good kick. I think he can get away with that race, race 2, and a bit of value, race 6, number 2, Schnitzelwood. Like the way this horse has come up, he sort of went through the grades okay last prep as a staying type. The first up run at the Valley I thought was good, and then again in a Country Cup last start, thought he battled on really well. Third up, out to 2,000 metres, I think he might be worth an each way bet.
Yeah, best bet for me, race 7, number 11, Verstappen. Always had time for him. He's a 3-year-old taking on the older horses here. He's recently been gelded. Jeez, he was unlucky last start at Mooney Valley. He just should have won. Big straight here should suit him. He's a big horse. He's got the build of a colt, even though he has been gelded, and I'm expecting him to run a great race. Night Boogie in the last race, 9, number 13. He's put 2 in a row, both over the 1600 metres. That's certainly the key to him, and he's got tactical versatility, so he doesn't need to be bustled out. He'll find a nice spot. Portman the main danger there, but just on a more broader note, really keen the whole meeting. It might be because we're all sleep deprived, or maybe just myself. I'm just really confident when I shouldn't be. But Runway Queen at 50-1, I reckon she can run a huge race in the 2-year-old event. And also Waxing. Darren Weir's only runner in the 2,000 metre staying race. Gee, $15, he probably could do worse.
Back on the Parks track in Morphettville, after the brief excitement of the Adelaide Cup. Oh, we do have more excitement, of course, later in the autumn in Adelaide. Carl, we wait to the last for your best, and you feel that a clear attack for Philip Stokes and Emily Finnegan is ready to atone for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, clear attack was nicely supported in betting. I think it was about 6 into 3s, 380, and just ran second. This looks an easier assignment. It does have to contend with Roselli Sting from the informed Gordon Richards yard, but I think can get the job done in the last. And Lady Alcatraz, race 6, number 8. First up from a spell, good form last campaign, draws the outside barrier. Look for Lady Alcatraz to get back and be flashing home over the top. But yeah, a few jockeys missing in action. Aaron Boyd, Jamie Carr, a few others have gone on holidays and taken
the train. Gone.
Yeah, the poo train's gone. He's off to Hong Kong. He's got a loyal following. And yeah, so unfortunately.
It'll be the Wong wagon now, won't it?
Well, yeah, Jamie Carr, thankfully we aren't losing her because, or else I wouldn't know what to do with myself. But yeah, Moorfield Parks, it's a bit of a ho hum meeting, but 8 winners to be found.
Any further and better particulars for you, John?
No, nothing for me.
We move to the Gold Coast for some reason for Brisbane Metropolitan Racing, or Queensland Metropolitan Racing rather, on Saturday. No, that's sounded very offhand. But no, look, I'm all for moving it out of, especially when you've only got two tracks to choose from. It's a bit of variety never hurts. Change is as good as a holiday, as you well know, Joel. But you've also got the Gold Coast Stakes here, which is not a listed race. I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan of that, but we do have a listed race, Joel, and that's race 7, the Carbine Club of Queensland Gold Market, and here we find your best of the day.
Yeah, well, Jopper, the old boy, he's a very consistent performer. He's come up well again. He's been in the top four all 3 runs, and he gets likely to be on his preferred heavy surface. We've got another wet track up there. Had plenty of rain earlier in the week, and I think there's still a bit more rain forecast. He loves heavy ground. Bridget Grills gets on well with him. 54.5, gets a bit of weight relief too. Yeah, I think he'll be very, very hard to beat. Flamboyer also likes the wet, probably the main danger. And my value bet earlier in the day for the local team of Julian Heinrich and Ben Rogers, race 2, number 8 below. Coming along well this prep, has improved each run, hit the line nicely at the end of a mile last start. Probably been set for this. Good $40,000 class 3 on their home track, and out to the 1800 looks perfect.
For me, I like Flamboyer in the Gold Market. I thought there was a really good last start win, leading throughout, winning in quite good time, and should be suited around his home circuit. And he's just 1.5 kilos off the minimum with the weight scale compressed with Sir Moments as top weight. And the other one worth mentioning is race 4, number 6, Dylan's Luck, over the 900 metres. Draws well in barrier 4, should be prominent throughout, and they both do handle a rain affected surface, so I wouldn't be overlooking Dylan's Luck in race 4.
Racing at Ascot again in Perth on Saturday, and there's 3 black type races for the young horses, one for the 2-year-old colts, one for the 2-year-old fillies, and one for the 3-year-old fillies. Joel, I see you're not in the tips panel. Have you had a look at this meeting?
I've had a look at a couple of the races. There's a horse I'm pretty keen on. With all these technical issues, haven't had time to put in for the whole meeting, but I do like in the Perth Stakes, the 2-year-old race for the Colts and Geldings, race 4, number 3, Debellatio, the son of Smart Missile from the Fred Kersley team. Even money, expected to win on debut, didn't, but ran well, ran third, and then last start, 3 wide, no cover, and just took off halfway up the straight. Wanted to duck in and do a bit wrong late, but opened up a good margin, won well. Drawn wide again, 10 from 10, so no favours in the run again, likely, but I think you can follow up with him. I think he's pretty promising and should be winning. And the other 2-year-old feature, the Jim Crackwell, Shaney was just so impressive last start and should probably account for them again.
Earlier in the day, the Group 1 action kicks off for the day at Trentham in the Kiwi capital, with the Wellfield New Zealand Oaks, 2400 at level weights for 3-year-old fillies. And here we find your value bet of the day, Joel.
Yeah, I'm going for the Ortridge Richards combination that provided the Derby winner Ginger Nuts to win in another classic with their filly Fashionably by Reduce Choice out of Scarlet Lady, who won a Queensland Oaks for Graham Rogerson. So she's bred to cope with the distance, like the way she attacked the line in the Lowland Stakes last start. She finished 5th, she was well back on the turn and ran on well. I think she, out to the 2400, can turn the tables on the winner of that race, Bonneville, who I've got in for 3rd. I've slotted in Dreamcrafter for 2nd. Liked her effort last start at Ellerslie behind Eleonora, who unfortunately has gone amiss. We won't get to see her in Sydney. And Dame Margot Fontaine, number three, in for fourth. Fashionably is my value bet. My best bet is Saracino from the Baker Forsman Yard. Bit forgiving of his Ellerslie run last start. His best form's left-handed. He's had a couple of Group 1 placings and a Group 2 win going that way, and I think he'll bounce back. Left-handed from Barrier 4, 1,400, should be very hard to beat. The Philly Mystery Show might give him a bit of a race, number 11. The other meeting is Tarapa. My best is Irish Moon, race 4, number 1, and my value is Indecision, race 3, number 8.
All right, well, that wraps up a big Saturday around Australasia. There is also plenty of action, of course, Friday night and Sunday, all covered in your big winning post, which we hope is on the streets on time. We managed to, after going flat out for quite a while, we managed to get it out about 5 minutes late from this building. So hopefully the printers have come to the party and it's everything's running smoothly. The Valley, Friday night, there is a Group 2. It is the William Hill Alistair Clark Stakes for three-year-olds. I see that Riven, one of you blokes likes this horse,
though. Yeah, I like it. He had it nommed for the Rose Hill Guineas, but they left it down in Melbourne. Yeah, I like this horse. He showed a fair bit in the spring, two wins and a very close second in the Sandown Guineas. And his two runs back have been quite good. I thought the first start run was okay at Caulfield. And then last start, when beaten by a horse that Carl mentioned just previously, I Boogie, who's a talented older horse. He loomed up to beat him, but was giving that horse 6.5 kilos and just wanted to duck in and do a little bit wrong. And it turned out being a very narrow defeat, but certainly didn't lose any admirers. I think up to 2,000 can suit. Interestingly, I think on Tuesday, it was listed he was going to have blinkers first time, and then the gear change come through, the blinkers off. So looks like they've changed their mind about putting the blinkers on, but well, he should run well.
Plenty of people wanted to give Luke Nolan plenty of stick for that ride at Pakenham with the whip usage over the final 100 metres, to people thinking he should have got more stuck into Ruthven, or however you say it. But he's now on Hartham, who I actually fancy is a nice progressive staying type, perhaps headed towards the ATC Derby, and even one down the bottom, Miss Strathallan, probably Oaks bound, whether it be Australasian Oaks or the ATC Oaks. It won really impressively at Pakenham and then found the line against the tempo last time behind Farson, who is probably the one to beat. So good race, the Alistair Clark. It's probably got a bit more depth than it usually has.
Alrighty, and we press on with more features on Sunday. You've got your Albury Mile, you got your Yarra Valley Cup, and I can tell you that both Paul Ridges and Craig White and Winning Post make their best at Yarra Valley in the Cup. High Church, I know it's a bit far-fetched, Darren Weir winning a Country Cup in Victoria, but that is what they think will happen. And finally, do not forget to pick up your Winning Post if you haven't already, and our best $20 bet for the weekend, please, Joel.
I'll go with Gold Coast, race 7, number 4, Jopa, on hopefully his preferred ground on a heavy surface.
I never get these $20 bets up, so I'll jinx something that I'm not going to have a huge bet on then. We'll go with Pariah and the Golden Slipper, race 7, number 1.
Well, I've had a run of three minor placings following my storied 5-match winning streak, and so I want to get back on the winning list, and I'm going to go for the very, very short-priced Flemington, race 2, number, bear with me,
3, is he number 3?
Number 3, the answer, my friend. And my friends, have a good weekend. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.